They cheat. They cheat.
You can't handle the truth.
Rudy's revelation.
Hey everybody, welcome to the podcast. February 19th, Monday. It is Monday, so it's time for my Sunday review of the mainstream media, where CIA asset Robert Costa took over for Maggie Brennan this week, and CBS Face the Nation and interviewed both South Carolina Republican senators, Lindsey Graham, about the Ukraine funding, and also Senator Tim Scott about the southern border, which both senators visited recently. And of course, Costa asked Scott about the legal lawfare waged against Republican presidential frontrunner Donald Trump. So I'll be showing some clips of that. And also tear into the Sunday New York Times, showing how the newspaper continually mischaracterizes the facts to mislead the public. So let's start off by getting into the headlines of the Sunday New York Times. All right. Well, stick with me here because I just... There we go. I just... just lost my window. All right, welcome to the podcast. Still trying to get set up with the live stream here, but I'm going to go right into the headlines. First up is the New York Times article, Lab Made Meat, Florida Lawmakers Don't Like the Sound of It. The original headline in the newspaper was, Bill to Ban Lab-Grown Meat Have Made Wide Ramifications. So it didn't really implicate Florida until you get it to the story online. Now, a measure in Florida that would ban sales of laboratory-grown meat has gained widespread attention beyond state borders. The bill, which is advancing through the Florida legislature, would make the sale or manufacture of lab-grown meat a misdemeanor with a fine of $1,000. It's one of half a dozen similar measures also in Arizona, Tennessee, West Virginia, and elsewhere. Now, they blame this on the meat association, the beef and poultry associations, perhaps, but most people don't want to eat lab-grown meat. So that is one thing that they don't even interview people. They could easily find people, citizens, regular Americans on the street, and ask them whether or not they are into lab-grown meat. Just going on to the story, is lab-grown meat available today? No, but big investors are trying to make it a reality. Billionaires, including Bill Gates and Richard Branson, have made investments. And they also throw in Leonardo DiCaprio in there. I don't know what difference that makes because I don't know how much Leonardo DiCaprio invested, but Bill Gates is pushing this big time. So that's certainly that something has to be looked at. Moving on in the headlines, or moving on with a story, I should say. Cultured meat has some skeptics who worry about allergens or contaminants, but proponents say the meat government's initial approvals should allay concerns. Other companies too are petitioning federal officials for approval. And what we're finding out here is that right from the story that it's not just beef and poultry producers that are concerned about lab-grown meat, it's some meat skeptics. Some skeptics are worried about allergens and contaminants or other health concerns that may arrive from eating lab-grown meat. So I'm going to move on with other headlines here. Texas governor announces new military base camp on border. The base for up to 2,300 soldiers will establish significant state law enforcement infrastructure in the area where Texas is contesting federal government sole authority. I'm not surprised by this at all. Good for Abbott for constructing this, because he's really throwing the gauntlet down and digging in the heel surrounding the state's right to enforce border laws to stop the crisis, the influx of hundreds of thousands and millions of illegal immigrants into the country. Certainly shouldn't be a surprise. Also in the news, the New York Times, Tucker Carlson's lesson in the perils of giving an airtime to an autocrat, the death of Alexei Navalny, the Kremlin's most vocal domestic opponent, prompted fresh criticism on Friday of the right-wing host's recent interview with Vladimir Putin. Though Carlson did press Mr. Putin during an interview on Russia's detention of Wall Street Journal correspondent Evan Gershkovich, he sat silent for long stretches as Mr. Putin conducted a history lecture. And again, the New York Times says that provided a one-sided and often false narrative about Ukraine. It wasn't often false. It may have been one-sided from the Russian perspective, but no one has contested anything that Vladimir Putin said about Russia's history and Ukraine's history, which has only been a sovereign state for some time. Mr. Carlson's fans and supporters on X portrayed criticism of his interview as sour grapes from mainstream journalists who did not get to interview Mr. Putin themselves. Yeah, I thought it was a good interview. You know, he could have been more hard-pressed, but there were some parameters to interview Vladimir Putin, which I think was important, but particularly to understand the Russian viewpoint in regards to Ukraine. I just want to point something out here, because we did talk about Navalny. What if Navalny was actually a asset of the West? Could very well have been. Could have been a construct of the West. He could have been developed. It's very likely. Now, if he was an asset of the West, could he have A, killed himself, or could another Western covert operation kill Navalny? Because the timing of the event is, which I always point to for suspicion, and certainly skepticism of the mainstream narrative, what if he was killed by the West? Yes, he was in a prison, and how do they get to them? Well, the thing is with Slavs is they tend to be very corrupt, because they don't look as corruption, financial corruption, as a moral failing. They look at it as an opportunity. So they don't look at corruption, financial corruption, in the same way as we do in the West, as a moral failing. They look at it, you're trying to do for you and yours. And so it's a little more accepted there. So I'm speculating that what if the West got to Navalny to kill him right before the Berlin summit? And it obviously plays in the hands of the United States that are looking for more funding for Ukraine, particularly now that the Senate bill is moving to the House. They tried to do it with the Russian space weapons, and that kind of fell flat. And so now they have Navalny's death, which puts the evil dictator Vladimir Putin back in the bullseye, in the target area. So certainly something to consider. Moving on with this story, why is it that Putin's Russia is at Tucker Carlson? Liz Cheney, the former Republican congresswoman from Wyoming, wrote on X after the News of Mr. Navalny's death broke out on Friday, and you are Putin's useful idiot. Well, yeah, this doesn't surprise me either from Liz Cheney, who is a minion of the establishment of the system, particularly the neoconservatives, uniparty, whatever. She's an establishment person. So we're going to move on to some more stories about Alexei Navalny's allies confirm his death as Russian detains mourners. A spokesman for the team that has continued Mr. Navalny's work said his mothers have received the official notification. Hundreds of mourners have been detained after his death. I just want to point out here that we don't have an official cause of death now. What will the Russians say with a sanctioned coroner? We could only imagine. But I'll just read from the story here. In Salgagard, a regional center close to the penal colony, Mr. Navalny's mother and his lawyer found the local morgue closed. When they called, the official said that Mr. Navalny's body was not there. Mr. Yarmish said, another lawyer was told, she said, that an additional histology had been performed to determine the cause of Mr. Navalny's death and that its results should be ready next week. Well, who knows? Who knows what's going to happen? Like I said, if he was poisoned or if he took poison, how do we know? How do we know it was Putin and not the West or whatever? And I'm not being a stooge. I'm not a Russophile. I don't care about Russia at all. But this timing just seems suspect. Why would Putin kill Navalny right now and head of the Berlin conference? And just as the United States wants to send more lethal aid to Ukraine. They wouldn't, is the fact. It's really quite ridiculous. I don't think too much about Putin. I don't really care. What I think about is the West, the Atlantic Council, NATO, and just their single-minded focus on getting Vladimir Putin or deposing the current regime there. That's my point. Who knows? I don't care if Putin killed him. Great. My thing is always that when you construct a motive, if you're constructing a motive, and that's what you should do for most crime, there has to be a motive. Most people don't think there should be a motive, but there is a motive. And people should think about what the motive would be. So, we'll see. We'll see what that indeed turns out to be. All right, let's move back to the headlines here. Trump allies plan new sweeping abortion restrictions. Now, they corrected it online because in the paper, it said Trump allies plan to bolster abortion bans. Now, as we've been saying for months and months and months, Republicans are not pushing abortion ban. Lindsey Graham's federal restriction law, abortion law, would limit abortions to 15 weeks. That's not a ban. A ban is you can't get an abortion. If it's an abortion ban, you can't get an abortion. These are restrictions. And so they changed the headline in the newspaper, in the New York Times. His supporters are seeking to attack abortion rights and abortion access from a variety of angles. Should he regain the White House, including a long-term dormant law from 1863. Now, what I want to say here is that this is all about the abortion pill. And in certain states, they don't want the abortion pill. And particularly if they banned abortion in that state, which is the state's right, it's called democracy, is that the representatives of the voters in that state don't want abortion performed in their state, so they're allowed to have it. That's abortion. That's democracy. So it's not the establishment's idea of democracy, which is building a consensus within the establishment of policy. It's real democracy, which means the voters in a republic get to decide. And so in some states, they don't want abortion. So, but the point being here in this in this article, as I'm going to go to in just a second, is they talk about the abortion pill. It's not restricting. They're just acting like they're trying to restrict health care. They're not. It's particularly having to do with the abortion pill. Let's go to the story. Behind the scenes, specific anti-abortion plans being proposed by Mr. Trump's allies are sweeping and legally sophisticated. Some of their proposals would rely on enforcing the Comstock Act, a long dormant law from 1873. But when the Democrats use a long dormant law or just make up stuff, it's okay. To criminalize the shipping of any materials used in abortion, including abortion pills, which account for the majority of abortions in America. Well, there you go. Abortion pills. Shipping any material for abortions. Abortion pill is what we're talking about. So the thing is, with the abortion pill, they don't want over-the-counter medication for people to commit abortions. But most of this is going to be moot anyway because you can use an abortion pill within 15 weeks. You just can't use it after 15 weeks. But who's, if you're prescribed an abortion pill, who's to say when you're using it is part of the problem. Moving on to other stories, the Biden administration is said to slow early stage of shift to electric cars. The change is planned rules. The change to planned rules was an election year concession to labor unions, auto executives, according to people familiar with the plan. And there was a different headline in the newspaper, and I'll just go on with the story because at least the New York Times here, it didn't, in the first edition in the newspaper, they didn't admit that it was a concession in election year to the unions because the unions make less with electric cars, if you didn't know. In a concession to automakers and labor unions, the Biden administration intends to relax elements of one of the most ambitious strategies to combat climate change. Which is just, it's ridiculous. Electric vehicles are meant to control your movement because they can. Just the reality of what's happening. Sorry to say. Moving on to the opinion pages, I just wanted to point out one opinion here that I'm not going to get into is the best case for U.S. aid to Ukraine. It's by Ross Douthat, who's like their conservative, the New York Times conservative opinion writer, and he just says, if you're going to fund Ukraine, it should be as a mean to an end, and that end should be armistice, truce, ceasefire, to come to some sort of agreement to stop the war. But I'm not going to get into that because that's self-evident, as far as I'm concerned. One of the other pieces here in the New York Times opinion pages was this one here, which is annotating the Trump civil fraud ruling, which was just terrible, terrible partisan political lawfare. And I had to take it out of the newspaper because in the digital version, the online version, that the yellowed area, the highlighted area, was the whole paragraph was boxed. So you could see in this highlighted area the word fraud or fraudulent, and they detail, and if you look at the highlighted area, it basically would show how they manipulated the word fraud or fraudulent to just saying like what many business people do, what many developers do, is like you do on your resume, you inflate things. So there was an inflation of value that the banks didn't have a problem with because they understand everybody did it, and the banks even testified as such that we looked at the overall Trump as a customer versus exactly what he wrote on his filings and whatever. And there was no one defrauded because no one complained. So, and they went on, and if you look, the summary judgment, the court found the plaintiff had a capacity and standing to sue, and that the subject financial statements material and represented the same value of Mr. Trump. And so you could see that the detailed filings of fact that were overwhelming evidence of each of these defendants make it a false statement of business records. But like I said, nobody complained. There wasn't a problem. But if you look, this is carefully annotated here with the pages and just the lines that are important, which was definitely worth reading. But if you looked at the article online, they boxed the whole thing. So that's burying you in information. So that's, you had to read the whole box to understand what the hell they were trying to say. And the fact is that when it was annotated line by line, it did make sense because you could see that they were just skewing what it meant to commit fraud because you said something that could be proved to be different than you stated. But it was a victimless crime because nobody cared. The only people that cared were the people that brought the case. And then he was found guilty ahead of time. So I'll just show you the headline. The civil fraud ruling on Donald Trump. The civil fraud ruling on Donald Trump annotated. But you could see, as they did online, I didn't get a screenshot here. They annotated the whole box in the you could download the PDF and read it if you want. But the whole box versus the lining that is more important. So it wasn't correct there. Moving on to other opinion pieces, how Trump turns his courtroom losses into wins. Shortly after Engoron's ruling hit the docket, one of Mr. Trump's lawyers, Alina Haba, said she would appeal. This verdict is a manifest injustice, plain and simple. It is the culmination of a multi-year politically fueled witch hunt that was designed to take down Donald Trump. Countless hours of testimony proved that there was no wrongdoing, no crime, and no victim. Dinguest essay, what a split in consumer confidence means for Biden. The actual headline in the newspaper was what voters really think of the current economy. Why does everyone think the economy stinks? The answer is critical, given this election is probably going to be close and that the variety of research suggests that the incumbent parties or chances are better when the economy is going well. President Biden trailing Donald Trump in early polls will need all the economic tailwind he can get. Many commenters on the left have focused on a purported gap between what they see as objective data signaling a strong economy, not really, in particularly persistently low unemployment because people have dropped out of the workforce, and middling to poor consumer sentiment. We all know what happens here. It's the crazy inflation. Even if you've had wage gains, they've all disappeared. All the wage gains people had under Trump are gone. And the prices at the supermarket won't come down because your dollar's worth less. Not the items are being charged. You're being charged more for the items. Your dollar's worth less. That's what inflation does. It never reverses itself. Just to be clear. That's not how it works. I'm sorry to say. And that's why you had Biden come out. I think it was during the Super Bowl. It came out and said, this is why corporations are shrinking package sizes and charging you the same amount. It's shrinkflation. You're damn right it's shrinkflation. They have to do that because otherwise, if they're going to give you the same amount, they would have to charge you more and it would look like the prices are going up. So they give you less for the same price. That's thanks to Joe Biden borrowing too much money. It's called deficit spending. Our debt service now is close to $1 trillion a year, 800 and something billion. That could buy a lot. So paying that money to banks and debtors takes money away from programs, including the military, but including social programs too and everything else. Going back to this stupid story. Not stupid story, but it's the perception of the Kool-Aid drinkers. Consumers don't think the economy stinks. They are pessimistic about the future. But that's a matter of prediction, not misinterpreting the current economic situation. Again, all they want to talk about is data, and the only data they want to talk about is not inflation and how, you know, even my brother says, I said, we've lost about 30% of the dollar recently. That's an interpretation. I don't want to argue with you. Oh, come on. You look at what the dollar buys nowadays. Buys a lot less, period, across the board. More in some areas, less in some areas, but whatever. It's not an interpretation of the economic situation or the future. It's the fact that everybody knows we've been hit with year-over-year high inflation, which is, it compounds. That's the problem. It's compounding. And so it gets worse and worse and worse as long as there's inflation. And then we're going to go on to Jamel Bowie. Trump is losing it. It is unclear whether Donald Trump has forgotten the precise nature of NATO or whether he has fully grasped it in the first place. Yeah, he knows the precise nature of NATO, North Atlantic Treaty Organization, that was built to defend against the Soviet Union in an ideological struggle. So the Soviet Union is gone, just so you know. Goes on to say, what is clear, however, that is that Trump, who ostensibly spent 4 years as president of the United States, has little clue about what NATO is or what NATO does. I doubt that. I know what NATO is. I know what NATO does. Nothing. Except be the world policeman. They're actually the policemen of the Uniparty, really the neoliberal think tanks. I'll just go on with the story. Except NATO isn't a mafia protection racket. It is for the Atlantic Council and other policy council-making bodies. Council on Foreign Relations, the Roundtable Institutes, on and on and on. Trilateral Commission. NATO, in case anyone needs to be reminded, I don't, is a mutual defense organization. Thank you, Jamel Bowie. Formed by treaty in 1949, as tensions between the United States and the Soviet Union hardened into a conflict. The parties agreed that an armed attack against one or more of them in Europe or North America shall be considered attack on them all, particularly by the Soviet Union, states Article 5 of the North Atlantic Treaty. According to the terms of the agreement reached last year, member states will work to spend at least 2% of national GDP on military investment. That's funny. Member states will work to spend at least. They'll work toward it. It's, you know, you can't pay your bill. I wish I went to the supermarket and I just said, I'll work to try to pay what the $300 I had to spend in groceries. I'll work toward it. It's so ridiculous. They have to spend 2%, and they don't, because the main policeman within NATO is the United States and to some degree the United Kingdom. It's quite ridiculous. I think we're going to go to Lindsey Graham first, because I have a trouble loading the segments here. So we're going to go to Lindsey Graham, very optimistic about emerging House plan for border security in Ukraine and Israel aid, which you're going to hear about. I think it's called the Fitzpatrick plan. But let's just go. I had a problem loading video, so let's just go to it.
There were no victims, no defaults, no damages, no complaints, no nothing.
South Carolina Republican Senator Lindsey Graham, who opposed the bipartisan Senate legislation, joins us now. Any new U.S. assistance for Ukraine from Congress.
Yes, I do. I feel very optimistic after having been on the phone all weekend talking with my House colleagues that there's a way forward regarding the border and Ukraine. The Problem Solvers Caucus, Congressman Fitzpatrick, and they've got a pretty creative idea. Here's what they're saying. Let's go back to remain in Mexico as a border security policy. And that was the number one request of the Border Patrol on our visit to Texas, Senator Scott. Go back to remain in Mexico. You have to wait in Mexico for your asylum claim. You're not released in the United States. And secondly, to reinstitute Title 42. Those two things on the border, I think, are simple, will work. And they want to slim down the aid package to $60 billion. All lethal aid. And here's what I told them. I think that's a winning combination. I suggested making the lethal aid a loan, like President Trump has suggested. The Europeans gave Ukraine $50 billion. 33 of it was a loan. So I think if you turn the lethal aid into a loan, do remain in Mexico, Title 42, that combination not only gets through the House, it picks up votes in the Senate. I'm saying that the House proposal, it depends on how it's written, makes perfect sense to me. I think you'll pick up 6 to 8 Republicans who want to help Ukraine, but believe that the bipartisan border bill was not sufficient enough. Why did I vote no? I want to help ourselves by securing our border. I want to help Ukraine, Taiwan, and Israel. The border provisions were not adequate
Understood.
To the task, even though there were many good things. So remain in Mexico
right.
is the number one game changer. You put that in the package. You slim down the package to lethal aid. But I would support humanitarian aid, smaller in number, if it was a loan. Again, the Europeans have made 33 of their $50 billion transfer to Ukraine a loan. Let's make it a loan. I think that gets you President Trump on the aid part. Let's go to remain in Mexico. We got a package that will work.
You said you think you can get former President Trump to buy in on some components. That's a big guess. Have you spoken to former President Trump about your new support for this House bill? And are you confident you can convince him to not try to kill what Brian Fitzpatrick, the House member from Pennsylvania, is putting forward?
Good question. I have not spoken to President Trump about this package. I spoke to President Trump earlier in the week about making the aid to Ukraine a loan. This was his idea, not mine. We did lend lease to Britain. We're $34 trillion in debt. Ukraine has minerals, they have a lot of resources. Israel has a strong economy. They've been hurt badly by October the 7th. Taiwan is a pretty rich nation. Why don't we do this? Make a favorable loan to all three of these allies. Let them pass back when they can, if they can, because we're $34 trillion in debt. That's the Trump idea. If you embrace that, I think you get a lot of votes in the House and the Senate. A 2,000% increase in people on the terrorist watch list coming across the border in 2 years. 5 billion people could be killed by the amount of fentanyl coming across our southern border. The largest loss of life of young people in America is fentanyl poisoning coming across the southern border. So I don't want to wait. I want to act now on the border. I want to turn the aid package into a loan. That makes perfect sense to me. And I think the bipartisan Problem Solvers group has an idea that will sell.
Former President Trump has spoken about NATO allies and how he has said if they're delinquent on payments to NATO, well, Russia can do whatever the heck it wants. Is that appropriate, especially in terms of U.S. foreign policy?
I think what's appropriate is for everybody to meet the obligation of 2%. Sam Nunn in 1984 threatened to withdraw 30,000 troops a year from NATO if they didn't make the 3% number back in the 80s. So here's what I think. They should pay up. 19 of 31 NATO nations do not contribute 2% of GDP. I want to have a system where if you don't pay, you get kicked out. But there's $70, $80 billion left on the table. If you're in NATO, pay the 2%.
All right. Well, there you go. You heard it from Lindsey Graham, what he thinks about what we should do with the border and Ukraine. Most of it is Trump's idea to, if you're going to give money to these countries, give them as a loan, and they have to be paired with border security, which includes stay in Mexico and Title 42 authority. which gives you the right to just refuse people, which is basically the way to go here. Now we're going to go to Senator Tim Scott, who is, shall I say, going to also talk a little bit about the lawfare that is being waged against Donald Trump, and which is blatantly a partisan persecution. Anybody else, well, anybody could see this to be fact. So let's just listen to what Senator Tim Scott of South Carolina has to say.
There were no victims, no defaults, no damages, no complaints, no nothing.
Here's what we know without any question, that this has only exposed the two-tier justice system that many Americans fear.
They cheat.
You have a justice system that hunts Republicans while protecting Democrats. Bob, one of the most compelling pieces of evidence towards this fact is Special Counsel Herr's report that said that absolutely without any question, Joe Biden mishandled classified sensitive material.
Oh.
At the same time, you have courts actually targeting and running after Republicans, not just, however, the former president, but whether it's pro-life activists or folks showing up at school board meetings, being referred to by this Department of Justice as domestic terrorists.
What?
We have a two-tier justice system that is being exposed.
You talk about the Justice Department being weaponized, but that's a claim.
Here's what we see. Special Counsel Herr's report is crystal clear that the president of the United States is too old, his memory faulty, which makes him sympathetic for a jury, so they're not moving forward with charges.
What?
But the report is clear
Senator,
that he mishandled classified material.
No.
That report is
and there was
crystal
no char-
clear, Bob. I think we can agree on that.
The characterizations have been highly contested, and there was no charge included in that report. But when it comes to former President Trump, Senator Scott, do you believe the RNC?
I can only tell you that without any question, when you look at the two-tier justice system that we have that I just reinforced, I think it's important for us to note that without any question, the American people are very concerned about how that would impact their lives. Their issues are very clear, by the way. The American people are more focused on their future than Donald Trump's past. What they're more focused on is making sure that our southern border is secured. We're looking at almost 10 million illegal crossings by the election. The American people aren't asking the questions about legal challenges. The American people are asking questions about economic challenges. They're not talking about legal challenges. They're talking about their challenges
and
across
you,
a kitchen table.
Should former President Trump stop calling Ambassador Haley Birdbrain?
Well, I think her son should stop calling me Judas Iscariot. So there's lots of things that we can talk about, but let's just keep our focus on the American people and why it's so important for us to, as elected officials, to focus on their issues. One of the reasons why President Trump is leading so significantly in the polls, one of the reasons why he actually won more women in New Hampshire in the poll, in the results of the election than Nikki Haley did because he was focusing on law and order and securing our southern border and safety in our streets, improving our economy. These are the issues that we should focus on.
So there you go. Senator Tim Scott, Republican of South Carolina, lays it out why and how there's a two-tier justice system that's unfair and that Donald Trump is being targeted, obviously, by a political witch hunt. It's political persecution. It's what you see in other countries. That's what you see in Russia. I mean, they claim all up and down that it's so terrible that Vladimir Putin put Navalny in prison. But isn't that what they're trying to do to Donald Trump to keep him from running? Because he has broad support among the populace, among the electorate. So that's not surprising at all. Don't forget to like, subscribe, leave a comment, share the podcast, and I'll see you tomorrow.
You can't handle the truth.